Gheeb Galairtaf, Walter Oath, and welcome to the Gaelic Hour. You're listening to Chin 97.9 FM with Austin Camerton, and we're also broadcasting out on Rogers Cable 97.3. If you catch this on the internet, you can get it at chinradio.com or at fidelity.ca as a live stream. And likewise, we put it up and we leave it up there for a week afterwards. It goes up Monday usually, or Monday or Tuesday, and it's available for a week. We're also podcasting now for some of the interviews that we put out in the air. I leave them up as a podcast. And any of the music that you hear on the show, we can you can catch that by going onto the website and hitting the playlist button, and it gives a list of the CDs and the music we're playing. And likewise, there's a calendar up there, and that lists the events that are going on. It listed, for example, down at the Irish Village this morning, there was some GAA fixtures being broadcast live. Armagh and Kerry, and Cork and Donegal. And Kerry were the victors, and Cork were the victors, and they move forward to play each other in the All-Ireland semi-final. But down there tonight at Mother McGinty's, Kilbride are on stage, and at the Heart and Crown, the Shiners. And I must say I am very grateful to the Irish Village and the Heart and Crown for their continued sponsorship of the Gaelic Hour. Without sponsorship like the Irish Village, this program would not continue to be broadcast. And speaking of the Irish Village, head down there tomorrow morning. Carlow are playing Antrim, and Cork versus Waterford, and that's on the big screen, so go down and have breakfast. On Monday, down by the Rideau Canal, the Celtic Cross Memorial Ceremony is going on down at the Ottawa Locks. And that the event starts at 1:30, but the Celtic Cross Memorial Ceremonies are from about 2:45 to 3:15. Make your way down for that. And as usual, on Tuesday night, Colfers have their session over at Annie's Irish Pub. And I'll fill you in later on the program about some of the other events that are going on. I'd like to wish Marcella Smith of the Irish Embassy bon voyage. Marcella flies out of here next Saturday. And also to Eva Smith. Eva is the voice behind the splitter that you've been hearing on the program here. And Eva, if you're listening, you're going to hear it a few times today. You're going to hear it a few times today. I know you're having a party out there. We're going to have some music now, and after that we have an action-packed program. We have Paul Turkin going to talk to us from Winnipeg, where there is a Folklorama and an Irish festival out there. And later on the program, Kevin Tierney will be talking to us. And Kevin is his mother was from County Meath, and his father was from his grandfather from Armagh. He is the producer of a new movie, Bon Cop, Bad Cop.
Tune into the Gaelic Hour, Chin 97.9 FM.
Tooraloora, tooraloora, tooraloora-lay. I don't check on my plundering upon the Sabbath day. Begun, you pagan heathens, I'll hear you speak no more. Our God will cast you in the pits of hell forevermore. Our God will cast you in the pits of hell forevermore. There was a burly Viking who sailed the salty sea, a-plunderin' and flutterin' the hull that he did see. He came upon a convent with a nun upon the shore, and little did he know the crew of fate that lay in store. She sang, Tooraloora, tooraloora, tooraloora-lay, I don't you come a-plunderin' upon the Sabbath day. Begone, you pagan heathens, I'll hear you speak no more. Our God will cast you in the pits of hell forevermore. Our God will cast you in the pits of hell forevermore. Upon this wee nun, he cast an evil eye. Said, stand aside a woman, or I'll split your chin to die. She wouldn't even budge, she didn't even try, but spat out these words with the fire in her eyes. She sang, Tooraloora, tooraloora, tooraloora-lay, I don't you come my plunder in upon the Sabbath day. Be gone, you pagan heathens, I'll hear you speak no more. Our God will cast you in the pits of hell forevermore. Our God will cast you in the pits of hell forevermore. He swung his mighty broadsword up into the sky. A bolt of thunder and lightning hit a tree nearby. His men, they fled with a great and screaming fear, still hearing the words of the wee nun in their ear. She sang, Tora, 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 don't you come a-plundering upon the Sabbath day. Be gone, you pagan heathens, I'll hear you speak no more. Our God will cast you in the pits of hell forevermore. Our God will cast you in the pits of hell forevermore. That mighty Viking still sails the salty sea. He's mighty key, he careful what he plunders and he sees. He curses every Christian, and the rising gale he hears. The words of the wee that's still burning in his ears. He hears, Tora, 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 don't you come a-plundering upon the Sabbath day. Be gone, you pagan heathens, I'll hear you speak no more. Our God will cast you in the pits of hell forevermore. Our God will cast you in the pits of hell forevermore. She sang, Tora, 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 don't you come a-plundering upon the Sabbath day. Be gone, you pagan heathens, I'll hear you speak no more. Our God will cast you in the pits of hell forevermore. Our God will cast you in the pits of hell forevermore. She sang, Tora, 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 don't you come a-plundering upon the Sabbath day. Be gone, you pagan heathens, I'll hear you speak no more. Our God will cast you in the pits of hell forevermore. Our God will cast you in the pits of hell forevermore. Thank you.
opened there with a piece by a group called Ord Ri, and that was a piece called Tooraloraloo, and then I followed that with Pat King and some light jigs, and that was from the Sandy Mount set. And Ord Ri is a Manitoba group from around Winnipeg, and they will be performing out at the Folklorama that's going on out in Winnipeg. And I just gave you a little bit of step dance music because there's an awful lot of dancing going on it. And to give a bit of background of what's going on out in Winnipeg. It's a multicultural event that goes on, and you have all different nationalities, and the Irish Association of Manitoba have a pavilion, and Paul Turkin, whom is going to come in online, I'm hoping in the next moment or so, is going to fill us in on all the activities that are going on out there. And they are bringing over a pair of dancers from Ireland. They're bringing Gary Collins and his sister Chloe, and Gary was a championship Irish dancer in 2005, world championship Irish dancer, and he is from County Clare. And he's coming into Winnipeg especially to appear at Folklorama, and he's accompanied by his sister Chloe. In the pavilion, they have all sorts of, they cover all aspects of Irish culture, including, as I understand it, cooking. And they're going for the full breadth of music and culture. So we're trying to get Paul on the phone at the moment. We're going to take a musical break in order to do so. And what we'll do is we will play Eva Cassidy. We'll play Eva Cassidy and her version of Danny Boy. And Eva Cassidy, I found this during the week. I was going to play it a little bit later on in the program. I found it during the week. And it is a beautiful rendition of Danny Boy, and I thought I'd share it with you.
Oh, Danny Boy, the pipes are calling from glen to glen and down the mountainside. The summer. Sweet.
was the late Eva Cassidy with a beautiful rendition of O Danny Boy. Paul Clerken, welcome to the Gaelic Hour.
Good afternoon, Austin.
And how are things out in Winnipeg today?
Well, we're just after the tail end of a fairly substantial thunderstorm, so it's cool and damp.
Well, so hopefully everything will be okay tomorrow when the Folklorama starts.
Yeah, I think it will. Well, the Folklorama itself tends to be based indoors, so the weather would have to be pretty poor to keep the Winnipeggers away from the various pavilions.
So, Paul, tell us a little bit about the Irish Association of Manitoba and your involvement with this Folklorama and a little about the Folklorama. It's going for how long?
Folklorama is now going, I think it's its 35th or 36th year. It's going from the early 70s.
Right.
And basically, it's a two-week festival, and over the course of the 2 weeks, 43 different national pavilions are run in different locations around the city. They're normally in school gymnasiums or curling rinks, that kind of big internal spaces.
Okay.
And inside those, each cultural group puts on a show, usually lasts about 45 minutes, and they put on a show maybe every hour and a half.
Right.
They serve food from their homeland, and drinks. There's cultural displays about their country or their ethnic background, and usually maybe some small shops and that kind of thing, selling foodstuffs or trinkets from home. And because it's spread over 2 weeks, every pavilion is run for a week. So
okay.
There's 22 in the first week, and then there's another 21 in the second week.
Okay.
And we, the Irish Association of Manitoba, are taking part for the 34th time.
Wonderful.
So we've been there from very early on, and we're on in the first week this year, which is starting tomorrow on Sunday, and it runs through to the following Saturday.
So some of the music and acts that you've coming in, I notice you have Gary Collins and his sister Chloe coming in from County Clare.
Yes.
And they're especially coming over for this this week.
Yeah.
And before you came in online there, I played a piece by Ard Ri. That's one of your local groups out there.
It is. Ard Ri play, they play locally in the city here, but they also take part in regular once-a-month gigs down at the Irish Club down on 654 Aaron Street.
Okay.
We have our own premises down there with quite substantial two lounges in it, and we actually have our own theatre with a proper raked seating and that kind of thing for our theatre group and for other uses. So we've been established here since 1972, so we've got our roots down deep, and we've got a fairly nice setup in the city. So we take in various acts, and we have entertainment down in our own building most nights during this season, which sort of runs from October through to about late May, early June.
So it sounds very like you have a very, very active group of Irish in the Irish community out there.
There is. There's a lot of people who take their time and spend time doing stuff, arranging. You know, like I said, concerts. We have our own theatre group, the Tara Players, and they put on about 4 plays a year.
Right.
Last year they did stuff, they did a play by Sing, they did Flann O'Brien. They took part in the O'Neill Fest here, which was a celebration of the plays of Eugene O'Neill.
Right.
And different theatre groups and some of the professional theatre groups in town all did a play, a different play, and it ran for about 10 days. And they're a very professional outfit in all but name. And there's a lot of volunteers take part in that, and then we also have a choir, and then it's just the general running of the club and the association and that kind of thing. And there's events all the time, and people rent out the space to come down and run their social club from it. And it's a good center for the Irish in the city.
Paul, have you found that having a center like that has been particularly beneficial to the Irish community? Because one of the things that's going on here in Ottawa at the moment is there's a move afoot to try and establish an Irish cultural centre.
Mm-hmm.
It has proved to be a beneficial focal point.
I think so. I think it's, apart from anything else, I'm only here in Winnipeg 2 years. I moved here 2 years ago from Ireland.
So you're still waiting for the summer?
Well, we've had a summer.
Okay.
We've had a great summer. It's been very hot here. But for me personally, it's one of these places I know. I can go down, I can meet other people from home, from Ireland.
Right.
Everybody's got the same sense of humor and the same background, and it's a touchstone for an immigrant.
So it allowed you to integrate very quickly, I take it then?
Well, yes. It is. It allows you to meet other people and get to know and get involved in it. Like, I immediately got involved in the association, both as a social outlet and as a way of meeting people. You know, I don't go often enough, but right. I find that it has been good. I think it has been a good spot for the community. Like, we had some new people arrive from Northern Ireland.
Okay.
And we hold an annual St. Patrick's Day banquet, and they were the guests of honor, and I think they were completely overwhelmed by the whole thing that it was there, and the Irish people were all banding together, and I definitely think it's a good thing to have.
Right.
Ottawa, it would probably be much better in Ottawa, because you get, there'd be more Irish people in Ottawa than there would be in Winnipeg. We're quite a small community as communities go.
Right. And, of course, within the area here, there's a long history going back multiple generations of descendants of Irish people.
Yeah.
Paul, I'm going to let you go, and I wish you every success with the Irish Pavilion at Folklorama. I hope you have a wonderful week out there, and it proves to be a powerful... proves to be a powerful method of... getting the Irish message out among the peoples around Winnipeg.
Yep.
Thanks a million.
Thank you.
Some lunatic is out there killing members of the hockey community.
For Detective Martin Ward, solving his latest case is nothing compared to getting along with his new partner.
He's from Quebec.
Martin Ward.
David Butchart.
The subject was a true Quebecer. His heart is in Quebec.
Yes, but his ass belongs to you.
Are you a college or university student? The Canada Millennium Scholarship Foundation works with the Ontario government to help students pay for school. The foundation has distributed over $638 million in Millennium Bursaries in Ontario since 1999. Just check the appropriate box on the OSEP application to be considered. For information about the foundation and its programs, visit www.millenniumscholarships.ca.
Tune into the Gaelic Garage, Chin 97.9 FM.
Despite what you might think and what you've just heard, you are listening to the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM with Austin Comerton, and the piece of music you just heard is not quite what you would normally hear in any respect, but the reason I played that, it is a piece of music from a movie that we ran the little 30-second snippet before, Bon Cop, Bad Cop, and it is a recent release in Quebec and is due to hit the screens very shortly in Ontario, and the producer is Kevin Tierney, and Kevin has very strong Irish connections. Kevin, welcome to the Gaelic Hour.
Thank you. Pleasure to be there. Here.
Well, you're there.
Wherever you are.
Yeah, well, we're in Ottawa. This is Bon Cop, Bad Cop all over, huh?
It is.
Okay. Kevin is in Montreal. Kevin, your Irish connections to start with.
Well, they're pretty complete. both my father and my mother came from Ireland, as the song goes. My father, his grandfather had immigrated here, and but my mother came as a child when she was 10. So, and one's from Armagh. My father's family came from Armagh, and my mother is from Meath.
Right. What was your mother's family name?
It was one of those names you're not sure it's really Irish. Her name was Bridget Mary O'Reilly.
No, I think there's a bit of an... That's definitely an alias.
Yeah, it's definitely... It's like people look at you and say, oh, come on. Come on, get serious.
Yeah, she took that as a stage name.
She did, indeed. And, you know, Tierney, of course, is... I grew up not... We were the only Tierneys in Montreal. And when you open the phone book, there weren't that many of us, and we were related to all of them. And I remember I went to Ireland for the very first time in 1970 when I was doing my, the usual student summer trip through Europe, and I went to Ireland. And the first thing I did was, when I got to Dublin, was find a telephone book and open it to Tierney. And I was astounded. Bloody hundreds of them. Hundreds of them. So then I knew it wasn't a really alien name.
So you were no longer feeling unique.
No, that was the wonderful thing, is that I no longer felt isolated. I mean, in Ireland, the first thing people say to you, no matter how long you've been, they say to you, how long are you home for?
Yes.
Well, I totally fell in love with that. I mean, I was just, you're being raised as an Anglo in Quebec, especially a Catholic one, which sort of puts you at the back of the bus, right?
Right.
In the way it's supposed to be divided is, if you're French, you're Catholic, and if you're English, you're Protestant. So you had Protestant schools, Catholic schools, but Irish Catholics, like, oh, please, why are you so annoying? So, when I got to Ireland, and all these people said, how long are you home for? I was totally seduced by the place and went back 2 years later to live.
Yeah, well, this is, I know when you and I talked earlier in the week, you did indicate to me that obviously was enough of an effect for you to want to create a home in Ireland.
Yeah, totally. I went back in 1972 and tried to find a job. Of course, it was, probably one of the most, the worst economic periods for Ireland ever, and everybody was trying to emigrate, and I was the one loon trying to move to Ireland.
Right.
But I went back and worked on a farm. I was the first university graduate in my family, and my father was having, palpitations, thinking that his first university graduate in the family was working on a farm milking cows for £5 a week and room and board. But nonetheless, I did try to stay, but it was the countryside. I didn't really want to live in Dublin. But I did end up, as I mentioned to you the other day, I did manage to buy the house that my grandmother owned, but they didn't live in, but from the very same little village of these seven attached cottages on either side of the road,
right,
just outside of Kells. And I had that house from 1972 until about a year and a half ago when I sold it.
And it was as a result of selling that you were able to finance Bon Cap Vodka.
You know, as people who are familiar with Irish real estate will tell you, if I could do as well with Bon Cap Vodka as I did with that house, I'd be even a happier man. Yes. No, you know, at the time, I mean, I didn't have any money, so I actually borrowed, my parents lent me $750. I actually lent me $1,000 to buy this house.
Okay.
And they took it off my father's life insurance. They borrowed it on his life insurance policy. And in 1974, I got married, my brother got married, and my sister got married all in the same summer. And my parents tore up the debt in our case, so effectively giving us the house. I already owned the house, but I didn't have to pay them back. They bought my brother and sister, respectively, stoves and fridges. So instead of the stove and the fridge, because we were leaving to go to teach in Africa, so the last thing we needed was a stove or a fridge to schlep to Africa,
right.
So we got the house. They've gone through a couple of fridges and stoves since then.
I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
So, Kevin, when you were back in Ireland at that time, were you involved in any way with acting or the theater?
Yes, I was. One of the things that I did when I lived there was I did a summer program at UCD in theater.
Okay.
And met a lot of fun people and had a good time.
And did that...
But I mean, it never, you know, wasn't really, I never, you know, it was sort of one of those things you can do when you're far away from home. You can say, oh, maybe I'll be an actor.
Right.
You know, instead of just always being a bad actor.
Well, of course, that would have just been the icing on the cake for your father, that an investment in a university education led to a manual labor on a farm and acting.
Exactly. The perfect combination. The
perfect combination.
Yep.
Your filmography is extensive. It goes, I've a list in front of me here, and I have no intention of even going down through it. But it starts with the most recent being Bon Cop, Bad Cop, and I see it goes down to Wild Thing, and probably about 30 credits in between.
Yeah, some of those I didn't produce, of course. I was a CEGEP teacher. We have colleges here in Quebec. And basically, I was a teacher until 1986.
Right.
And then I left. And while I was teaching the latter part of my teaching days, I was working as a freelance journalist. And then when I was really, really broke one year, I became a publicist, freelance publicist, so I could make some money. Because I'd taken that year off to go to China with my wife and my son to teach.
Okay.
And Wild Thing, for example, I was a publicist.
Okay.
But I started working full-time in the film business in 1986 with a publicity company, and then one of my clients, Rock Damaris, who was a very well-known producer here in Quebec for most successful producer of a series of children's films called Tales for All or Contes pour Tous.
Right.
He was one of my clients when I was in publicity, and he offered me a job, and I went there to work with him in the first thing a few years. That was in 1988. And then in 1991, I think, or 92, I produced a 5.5-hour documentary series with him about Pierre Trudeau, his memoirs.
Okay.
And that was the beginning of my career as a producer.
Right. I noticed you did screenplays also. I saw 1990 of Pancake on a Hot Tin Roof.
Yes, with Ottawa's very own Lois Siegel.
Right. And then 1997, Dancing on the Moon.
Yes, that was a kid's movie.
Right. And then you were in production with The Return of Tommy Tricker.
Mm-hmm. Which we shot in the Cook Islands, which is fabulous.
And again, you were and Dancing on the Moon, production of that. And then you moved into the executive production.
Well, I started doing more. I stopped doing those kids' movies. I did another kids' movie called Whiskers.
Right.
With Brent Carver. And then I kind of moved into working with an American pay television network called Showtime. And I did some miniseries with them, which were very successful. More Tales of the City and The Life of Joe Bonanno. I did another miniseries for A&E called P.T. Barnum.
Okay.
And both More Tales of the City and P.T. Barnum were nominated for Emmys for Best Miniseries.
Right.
So that kind of took me in a different direction and ultimately led me to leave La Fette, where I'd been working with Roch de Meyrs, and to set up my own company. And the first film that I made under my own company was called Varian's War, which was a co-production with the UK, starring William Hurt and Julia Ormond.
Right. So,
and I also was one of the writers on Bon Cop.
Yes, yeah. I saw that also.
Yeah.
So moving forward to Bon Cop, your background and your life experiences to date, given the Irish experience and your travel experience to places like China and everything else, always lead to having a wealth when it comes to becoming creative. Bon Cop, Bad Cop, where did it come from?
Well, it actually was the idea of the star. There's a very well-known star here, stand-up comic, and then turned actor, whose name is Patrick Huard.
Yeah.
And he had this idea, which was really, you know, it was such a, like a, what we call a high-concept idea. English cop, French cop, one from Quebec, one from Ontario. They meet on the border and look up at the sign that says, "Welcome to Quebec, bienvenue en Ontario," and there's a body hanging over it. And there's an argument about whose jurisdiction it is. And, of course, it then follows in, you know, along the same sort of lines of the buddy cop movie, which is a very successful genre in virtually every culture. And it was amazing to actually stop and think that, how the hell did we never make this movie before now?
Right.
You know? I mean, in America, it's like a black guy, white guy, old guy, young guy, Chinese guy, black guy, Chinese guy, white guy, you know?
Right.
In France, two fat French guys.
Yeah, and it's...
And so here, it was a natural to do an English guy and a French guy.
Yes, yes.
And of course, you know, it's they're not going to get along.
Yeah.
And then you create a roller coaster ride for the audience to determine not whether they're going to get along or they're going to come to each other's rescue, because you know that in advance. That's the fun. It's how. So, you know, and what is their case and what are they trying to... So we came up with a kind of serial killer, not an unfamiliar notion in this genre of movie, and he apparently seems to be out to kill everyone who ever sold a Canadian hockey team to an American.
Okay.
Which we thought was a really unifying idea for both French Canadians and English Canadians.
Okay.
Because if we agree on anything, it's that.
Right.
Those bloody Americans stole our game.
Right.
We don't like each other. We have opinions about each other. But the one thing we can agree on, those Americans, and that Gary Bettman. So that's basically the movie in a nutshell. That's exactly the two cops go back and forth between Montreal and Toronto trying to find this mysterious serial killer.
And the movie opened, or it has opened in Quebec.
It opened in Quebec in both French and English on Thursday night at the 10 o'clock screening. And 133 prints, which means it's a huge opening here.
Right.
And it is virtually playing everywhere. And it's, I'm very pleased to be able to tell you that it's playing to packed houses.
Okay.
In both official languages.
Right.
Last night, I live very close to the old Montreal Forum here in Montreal, which is now an AMC theater. And after dinner, my wife and I were walking by, and I couldn't resist. I had to go in and have a peek and see who was there. And there were 500 people in the theater in the 10 o'clock screening, laughing there, getting their money's worth.
Wonderful.
So it's fantastic.
So when is it due to hit the big screens on over here?
We have our premiere in Toronto on the 9th.
Right.
And it opens across English Canada everywhere. Pretty big release too, on Friday the 18th.
So where do you intend being? I presume you will be in Toronto on the 16th.
I'll be in Toronto on the 19th. Mm-hmm. I mean on the 9th, sorry, for the premiere.
Yeah.
On the 18th, I don't know. I'll be sitting somewhere where they can call me and tell me. You know, these distributors are obsessed with figures, and they usually know. You know, they make their predictions starting around noon on the Friday.
Right.
Like whoever's at the first screening, they have their projections and their way of determining who, you know, how much money the movie's going to make. But I know that the distributor from Toronto called me this morning at home,
right,
at 8:45 to tell me, to congratulate me, saying you have a huge hit on your hands. Now, a huge hit in Quebec does not necessarily mean a huge hit in English Canada.
Right.
So the other night at the premiere in English here in Montreal, I asked everyone in the audience to start a new campaign with me. It's called Adopt an English Canadian.
Okay.
Find at least one English Canadian and contact them and tell them that they really should go and see Bon Cop, Bad Cop when it opens in English. Not because it's good for you, but because you'll have a good time.
So do I qualify as your adoptee?
Absolutely.
I
think I'm allowed more than one.
Okay.
So, and you know, you being Irish gives me a bonus.
Well, you being Irish gives me a bonus also, because it's certainly fantastic to have something like this come from our tradition, and all these things come in together, which help yield the product at the end. How do you feel, or what kind of feedback are you sensing from your distributor in relation to how this might, if ever, cross the border south?
Well, we have for your people listening who do go to the movies, they may have seen the trailer. We have a 2-minute trailer that's been running for the last couple of weeks, and in fact, I got a bunch of calls from people who went to see Miami Vice last Saturday at the Paramount Cinema in Toronto,
right.
And they called me to tell me that the trailer had played before Miami Vice, and the buzz, as we like to call it, the reaction was just spectacular. Everybody that saw the trailer loved it.
Right.
And we tested the movie in Ontario. We had a test, in fact, as recent as 2 weeks ago the name escapes me for the moment. Just a place right in Oakville, Ontario.
Oh, yeah.
And with a regular theater going audience that had been recruited by a special company, and they filled out a questionnaire at the end, and they loved it. So the great thing is that I now know in my heart and soul that audiences in English Canada and in French Canada, you have to remember it's a completely bilingual movie. It is exactly the same movie in English and French, except one has French subtitles and the other version has English subtitles. But that audiences are responding to exactly the same jokes in exactly the same way.
Right.
Now, the big struggle in English Canada is not getting the audience to like the movie, it's getting the audience to go see the movie. And so, you know, our competition's pretty stiff. There's some big, expensive American movies with lots more money to spend promoting and marketing than we have, but we're hoping that the word of mouth and the buzz is going to be good enough to carry us through.
So, having reached into the depths of your creativity and come up with Bon Cop, Bad Cop, and having got a sense of that, what you have in that creativity is the marketplace likes, has Kevin Tierney any other ideas floating around in his head that have been there and he'd love to pursue now?
Well, I mean, you know, the obvious one, I suppose, is, you know, when you have a success with a movie like that, you immediately, everyone's immediate thoughts go to the sequel. If it worked once, why wouldn't it work again?
Right.
So we are working on, definitely, we're not. I mean, it's not official yet, but, I mean, if the movie is successful, we will definitely do a sequel.
Right.
But I do have other projects that I'm working on, a French-language film called Service Demandé, which is a small art film, really. And I've managed to get some of the financing for that, but not all of it. So I'm busy trying to put that together. And I'm also doing a very exciting project for CTV, the television network, with a partner in Newfoundland, about that tragic accident in Newfoundland in 1982, when the oil rig toppled and 84 people were killed.
Right.
And that's a big project, because it's a very, as you can imagine, trying to make a kind of movie, a disaster movie on a Canadian TV movie budget is no mean feat. But those are the two projects that I hope to do this year. And then I have a co-production with Ireland.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That we hope to shoot in Ballyvaughan.
In County Clare.
In County Clare.
Yeah.
Next September.
Wonderful.
And that's written by Des Walsh, who
right.
did The Boys of St. Vincent.
Yeah.
From Newfoundland. And that's another co-production with Newfoundland and Ireland. And directed by John Smith.
So what's the theme of the Ballyvaughan?
And the Ballyvaughan is, it's fabulous. I mean, I think it's a love story between a young, aspiring, lonely poet from Newfoundland,
right.
who meets the girl of his dreams when he arrives in Ballyvaughan, but he's just a couple of years too late because she's already committed to go to entering the nunnery. She's going to become a nun. And it's a love story between the two of them, and then at the very end, she realizes that until she actually allows herself to experience all of the possibilities of being a woman, including a passionate night of love with her poet, she won't be a good nun. So they have, it is not an unrequited love. It is a consummated love, but the next day she enters the nunnery, and he goes back to Newfoundland and writes a book of poems called Love and Savagery.
And when it comes to doing your market research on how that's going to hit the market, I presume your target audience, of course, you'll have it shown in lots of convents first.
That would be, we'd be trying to open it there. And I look forward to the casting myself.
I can imagine.
No, I just, you know, it's one of those great, it's really like a love story of the kind of the Titanic without the ship sinking, but this great love story. Where, you know, this is an impossible love. And the way we're planning to do it is, you know, essentially, it's an Academy Award-winning role or an Academy Award-nominated role for the right young actress who gets to, you know, go to God and sleep with this guy.
So
great part. And if we get one of those young stars, you know, the next, Audrey Hepburn, then we could maybe make this work.
So this raises a whole other aspect as well. When it comes to shooting a movie and bringing somewhere on location, I presume you'll do a certain amount of location over in Ballyvaughan.
Yes. We would do all the exteriors, and then we would probably, for financial reasons, move the whole production to Newfoundland and shoot the interiors there.
Okay. And you would be relying quite heavily, I would imagine, on Irish talent for your extras?
Well, most of the cast, except for the two young men from Newfoundland, would all be Irish.
Right. And is this your first major production that you would be doing in Ireland?
First one that I hope will be successful. I did another. I spent quite some time trying to do a 4-hour miniseries called The Voyage of the Naparima, which was about the famine and Gros Isle.
Right.
And we were all set to go, and then the money fell out right at the last minute. So I'm hoping this time to be more successful.
And, of course, something like Bone Cop, Bad Cop helps the money people to have that sense of security.
No, it's a totally different ballgame, really. There's so many more factors involved. You know, I'm not trying to downplay. You know, everybody likes success, and everybody thinks of you differently after you've had a great success. So, you know, as we say in French, tant mieux. But it's not really, there is no real causal relationship between those two factors.
Right. Well, Kevin, I'd like to thank you for taking the time to spend with us and talk to us and share your story. And I wish Bon Cop, Bad Cop, fantastic success in English Canada. And I hope that you get fantastic success south of the border and globally with the movie.
Well, thank you very much.
And I look forward to seeing it.
I hope you enjoy it. And if you don't enjoy it, then blame it on the French-Canadian director. And if you love it, then give me all the success. I'll take all the credit.
And again, let's mention its opening.
August 18th.
August 18th.
Everywhere. Bon Cop, Bad Cop. And it is a completely bilingual action comedy. And for anybody that has even ever heard the word Pierre Trudeau, or two words. No, but it's that for that generation, you know, I mean, the people that really, you know, that have access, or even a bit, you do not need to speak French because the French audience does not really need to speak English, and you don't have to be a hockey fan either. But it's the first movie that really allows people, you know, from coast to coast in this country to see themselves and maybe take ourselves a little less seriously than we often do.
Right.
Which can only be a good thing.
Agreed. Kevin? Every success, and hopefully we get to talk to you again in the future with your
anytime
next box office.
Anytime. Thanks very much.
Take care, Kevin.
All the best.
Bye-bye.
Join Chin Radio weekdays from 5 a.m. to 6 p.m. for a musical journey across the globe, starting with some Caribbean exposure. From 7 to noon, we head to the Mediterranean for a taste of Italy. At 1 o'clock, it's off to the Middle East. And at 5, we arrive at our final stop in China. News, weather, and the world's best music. Right here on Chin Radio 97.9.
Tune into the Gaelic Garage. Chin 97.9 FM.
Mark Lennon, are you out there?
How you doing, Austin?
Doing good, Mark. Good. Mark Lennon's going to bring us up to date on how the Ottawa Gaels did last weekend fairly quickly, and then just a brief summary of today's GAA and what's happening over on the other side. How did the Gaels do last Saturday?
Well, last week the Gaels had a good victory over St. Patrick's from Toronto. They won 6 goals and 8 points to 5 goals and 7 points. A very exciting high-scoring game.
Right.
And now next week they're gearing up for the quarterfinals of the championship.
And is that here?
That is here, indeed. The men's team are going to be playing Montreal,
okay.
And the ladies' team are going to be playing Durham.
And the men are playing at...
men's game will be starting at about 1:30.
Okay, and the ladies?
The ladies will be on after that, probably around 3 p.m.
And you said they're playing Durham?
Yes.
And again, those games are out on Hunt Club Road near the old Uplands base?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. Today's GAA...
Yeah, we had two very interesting football games today in the quarterfinals. The first game, a very, very entertaining game between Armagh and Kerry, which Kerry won by 9 points.
Right.
3 goals and 15 points to 1 goal and 12 points. And the second game was a little bit slow to get started. It was between Cork and Donegal.
Right.
And cliffhanger at the end when Cork just prevailed by 1 point.
And, of course, that means now we have a Kerry-Cork semi-final.
Yeah, a very, very interesting game. It's a repeat of this year's Munster final.
Right.
In the first game they actually drew and they had to go to a replay in which Cork won. And so I'm sure Kerry will be out for a little bit of revenge and, of course, the carrot of getting to the All-Ireland final.
And tomorrow?
Tomorrow we have the final of the Christie Ring. Hurling. It's going to be between Antrim and Carlow.
Right.
And then afterwards, we should have a very exciting All-Ireland hurling semi-final between Cork and Waterford.
And, of course, they're on live down on the Heart and Crown in the morning as well.
That's correct, yep.
Okay. Mark, thanks a million for taking the time to share the scores with us.
Not a problem. Anytime.
And we'll talk to you again fairly soon.
Okay.
Bye for now.
All the best, Austin.
Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM with Austin Cummerton. And what you're hearing in the background is the combined bands of police bands of Toronto playing the Sands of Kuwait, which I recorded when I was at a Toronto Police Services tattoo and pageant recently. And that's to remind me that to mention that the Glengarry Games are on this weekend. And if you want to head out that way and enjoy them, go ahead indeed. I'd like again to thank the Irish Village and the Heart and Crown, Mother McGinty's, and the whole group of pubs down there for the continued sponsorship of the Gaelic Hour. Without their help, this program would not be possible. Do come back and join me again tomorrow. I will be back at 1 o'clock with a program full of music. I hope you did enjoy today's program. It was an honour and pleasure having Kevin Tierney and Paul Clerken. And as I say, have a wonderful weekend, and we will see you tomorrow.